Good morning, everybody. Pastor Kevin is off with his grandkids. I don't know if we'll ever see him again, right? He may just stay there. We'll hope he's back next week. I want to read a verse to you that I came across, and it's actually one of the verses that will be in our message today. And it says this here on New Year's Eve. We're part Christmas, part New Year's today. It says in Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. That's our prayer as we move in to 2024. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this time. Pray that you'll speak to us through the music, the message, the fellowship, and the handshakes and the hugs, the smiles that we see all around us. We love you. We thank you for your salvation, that you came and died on that cross so that we might have eternal life. Help us now as we sing these songs to sing them to you as we worship now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I learned something from Jason this week. He said, day after Christmas, took all that, some of the things that had come in, maybe gifts that were money-wise and so forth, go Christmas shopping the day after Christmas. Now, first of all, I think there's probably a lot of things on sale too, right? You wait maybe even to January to do that. So here's a couple of thoughts about that. Any of you do that? You'll go shopping after Christmas? Admit to them, two or three people. Yeah. I guess so. Well, I know down at the Dollar General near my house, they had a shoplifter that went in. They were looking for the 2024 calendars. They just grabbed one and took off. And they've been kind of light on shoplifting, but I think that one's going to get 12 months. So, yeah. Let's see. What else we got here? Well,
really, John?
That was it, folks. Who was it? We were talking up here, and I said, hey, we may do another little song later in here. I said, do we need to cut a song out? And Jonathan made a great suggestion, cut the sermon back a little. I said, okay, yeah, that'd be good. Steve, you up for that? Yeah, he's good on that, too. I've told this story many, many times, but when you do go shopping around Christmas time, many times you're out there, and it's hard to find a parking spot. Now, I will say this. I was up in Florence doing a wedding up there, and I went shopping at the mall. I looked up, and it was packed out, people in, people out. So I sat in my car and did shopping on my phone. Why do you go to the mall? So I can shop on my phone in the parking lot. But this lady was coming along, and there was one parking spot. And this lady was getting her big Cadillac, getting ready to pull into that spot. Here comes a young man in a sports car, kind of like Steve, right? Steve Rogers in that young sports car. Yeah, he comes flying in and takes the spot, and the lady was irate. So she backed up that Cadillac a little bit because the guy he jumped out of his car and he said to her, which you don't want to do this either, that's what you can do when you're young and quick. She backed that Cadillac up and rammed it right into that sports car. She got out, looked at him, and said, that's what you can do when you're old and rich. So you've heard that. I've told that joke so many times, Jason. So there we go. Well, I hope you got your outline there. We're going to talk about a poem, a song, and I believe a life-changing message that comes to us from this song and from Scripture. But it's you probably know the poem. It was called Christmas Bells, written by Longfellow. And then it was rewritten into a song called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. So we got a little bit of Christmas coming in, and we got a little bit of New Year's coming in. We're going to put some pictures of bells up here somewhere. There's the life-changing message. All right, anybody recognize that bell? We have a guy that literally rides his bike around the neighborhood, and when you wave at him, ding, 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 ding. Great little thing. Started during COVID, I think. So here's the next one. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, the doorbell. How many have a doorbell that does not work? Yeah, we have a sign on ours. Please knock, right? What else we got, Joe? Ah, there's the dreaded alarm clock. Yes, those bells we don't like. That is that a cowbell? Is that what it is? What school is it? Some football team that plays cowbells when they're, is it Mississippi, Mississippi State, somebody like that? All right, next one. You walk in the store, nobody's there. Ding, ding, ding. All right. Then you ring it again. Ding, ding, ding. Two or three times. There you go. What else we got? What do we have? Jingle bells. I think we had some up here when the children sang a couple weeks ago. Yep. Wind chimes. Bells that hang out in the yard. There you go. There's one. That's kind of, I don't think you want to ring that one. That would break probably, but a little dinner bell maybe. And a handbell. Anybody played handbells before? If you've ever get a chance to hear a handbell choir, that's phenomenal. Hear the handbells playing the song throughout. What else we have? And then finally, the church bells. The church bells. I know downtown, and I don't know about here on James Island, there might be a place where they ring bells. I know St. Michael's downtown, we got to go up into the steeple. They have a group of people, about eight of them, that gather every Sunday morning, and they will play a song by pulling the certain notes and play the bells and play a hymn on Sunday morning. That'd be a cool group to be a part of, you know, just go up there in the tower. As we think about this song, it's written, the original poem was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Most of you have heard of him. I want to give you just a quick Reader's Digest version of his life. He is as a young man, Longfellow, back in the 1800s, and he wrote this poem in 1864, right around Christmas, of course. And here's a later photo. Got the beard. Now, let me tell you, as we go through this story, why he had that beard. And somebody said there have been other people like this who had that kind of same situation. As you read this poem, and I'll read through a little of it with you, it says, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, a wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Of course, that comes out of Scripture. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He heard those bells. Do you think there are bells in the Bible? Does anybody know? Are there bells in the Bible? There are four places where bells show up in the Bible. None of those are places like the bells that we just saw a while ago, the church bells. These were bells that were connected to the high priest when he went into the Holy of Holies once a year. Because when he went in there, they had a rope tagged around him. The only person who could go in the Holy of Holies in the temple was the high priest. What would happen if he were to pass out or die while he was in there? That's why they put bells around the robe of the high priest. And if the bells quit ringing at some point, they would pull that rope and get him back out. There's three places there those bells are mentioned. There's one other place, and it's bells that are related to horses riding. Those are the only bells in the Bible, but they become a part of our world in the church later as we say the word Christendom. We'll see here that one in a minute. Second verse says, I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Sometimes we feel like we're the only group that's meeting. You know, we're the only Christians. This is the only church around. You realize there are millions and millions, maybe billions of folks who are gathering today who are Christians around the world. There are places around the world where it talks about all of Christendom. There are places in the world where they can't even tell people that they're meeting. I think of China. I think of some of the places over in the Middle East where if they came in, there would be a chance that folks would be drug out and maybe even killed because of their faith in Christ. Today, we're not the only ones meeting. We have a huge family of Christians around the world. And that began to speak to Longfellow here as he thought about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And here's the verse that really grabs us. Don't miss this. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's almost like he's looking at our world today. The wars that are going on, the death that's taking place, the turmoil. Longfellow, in his life, the reason he had that beard, one of the reasons, he had two wives who died. The second wife died. She was sealing some cards and envelopes that she was sending out, probably Christmas cards or something like that, heating up the wax to seal the envelope. Her dress caught on fire, and she died. He was injured so badly trying to save her and was burned very badly, particularly in the face, that he started growing that beard. That's why he had that beard in all of his pictures. He had a son. He was also against what was happening in the Civil War, but he had a son who volunteered to go and fight. His son was shot. His son was paralyzed. He had to go and get his son and bring him back home. And there on Christmas Day, he's listening to the bells. Listening to those bells ring around the city and the churches. And then all those thoughts came to his mind. How war was going on. How pain had come into his life. And that's why he said, and in despair, I bowed my head. Good news, fourth verse. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Even in that moment of realizing his wife had died, his son had been shot, and war was going on all around, people were being lives torn apart, even in the midst of that, the bells rang out to him and said, God is alive. There will be a day when there's peace and goodwill. I know in your life and mine, many times we get caught up in that third verse. And we need to be reminded of what happens in the fourth, because those bells continue to say, God is here. And then verse 5, till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved. From night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. A great song, a great poem to speak to us. Now, I told my brother, I said, he's up in Kentucky, and I told him, I said, he's preaching today on, he's preaching on when they took Jesus down into Egypt to get away from King Herod when he was killing the babies. You know, none of that story. And I said, well, Carl, I'm using a song tomorrow to kind of bring together New Year's and Christmas. And he said, well, John, we used to use the Bible. And I said, well, yeah, we're going to have the Bible in there too. But that song kind of launches us into a thought about not only Christmas, but then moving into the new year. So that's what I would like for us to do. And I don't know if you guys... I know this is hard to believe, but Bennett, I kept all my 2023 resolutions. Yeah, they're in the top left-hand drawer of the desk. They're still there. Yes. And I, you know, every year, how many will stay up and watch the New York City thing tonight? Yeah, you got that. I used to stay up and watch that, but I always expected something really, really good, but they seem to drop the ball. So I don't think I'm going to watch that tonight. Yeah. One of my goals last year was to lose 20 pounds. I'm within 25 of reaching that one. So somebody also said, where do you find comedians on Christmas Eve? Obviously not here, right? You know where you find them. They're looking for the punchline. No, there you go. All right, so Jason, we can throw that one aside, yeah. Whew. Ringing in the new year right, as we've looked back a little bit at Christmas, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. What do we learn from that? What scriptures speak to us? I read one to us already because we still need a little bit of Christmas as we go on in, maybe a lot of Christmas as we go into 2024. What is God's part in ringing in the new year right? Here it is, that verse again in Ezekiel chapter 36. says, I will give you a new heart. I will put in you a new spirit. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. A heart condition. That's God's part. He's working in us to make our heart responsive to him. What is our part? What is our part in this? And it kind of builds off of this song a little bit. It builds out of scripture as well. So let's look at this. What is our part? First, block destructive thoughts. And that's what hit Longfellow so hard. All those thoughts about war. Look what it says there in Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. To think differently. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Goodwill toward men. Romans chapter 12 is a great chapter. If you read the book of Romans, and one of the things I love to do, and this is kind of funny. Stan, I don't know, were you guys on the radio when you were coaching basketball? Y'all on the radio or anything? Well, you know, broadcasters, we try to meet with the coach a little bit and ask him a question or two. And yesterday we had Francis Marion was playing Charleston Southern. And I did not get to see the coach, but I told my partner, I said, what question would you have asked? And I said, I know that coach went to Liberty University. So I was going to ask her, what's your favorite book of the Bible? Now, can you imagine getting ready for the ball game? And the guy comes over to the commentator and says, hey, I'm doing the broadcast. What's your favorite book of the Bible? And it's funny because that would be a great question. Or what's your favorite verse? I asked that of the volleyball coach over at Presbyterian College right before the match. I mean, we're getting ready for the match, 10 or 15 minutes. They're probably coming over and going, he's probably going to ask about the injuries that we have or how we did last match, how did we do against so-and-so. But I said, what's your favorite book of the Bible? And the assistant coach said, Book of Ruth. I said, well, hey, that sounds like a good one. I said, are you married? Did you use it in your wedding? About that time, she had to go off with the team. Here comes the head coach. Coach, what's your favorite book of the Bible? Psalms and Romans. And then she held up a ring that she had on her finger. And it was a verse in Romans that says, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Isn't that cool? That is so neat, just to have that opportunity to talk to people and find out, what do you have a faith? Now, if they said, I don't have a favorite book of the Bible, you need to go back over and do the broadcast. Get out of here, right? It could happen. Could happen. But to block those destructive thoughts by putting in positive thoughts in your mind, thoughts about God and His Word, that is a big step. Secondly, that leads right into it. Elevate your focus. Now, as you're writing that one in, look at Philippians 4:8. Now, this is out of the Message paraphrase. It says, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. How many times do we get caught up in, I would call it the English teacher red letter or red mark thing, where we're always looking for what's wrong? Instead of saying, I want to catch my kids, I want to catch my grandkids, I want to catch my spouse or my parents doing something great. And then tell them about it. Tell them about it. Had a chance yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and tell this story now. I was going to tell this later. But I got a call or text message. It was Friday night. Said, John, I want to see if you might be available to do a funeral in about a week or so. And actually, this individual is still alive. I got another text message that says, I said, well, is this person at home? Can I go by and see them, see the family? And sure enough, yes. We got over there and spent some time, five family members, myself, and individual. who was still with us, he was still alive, held his hand, and I told a story to the family. I said, this fella, Bill Bolter, y'all probably know Bill. Bill was a runner, ran up until 90 years old, didn't even know he was sick. I said, Bill would go with us to the nursing home on John's Island. Mr. Regis Kennedy, some of you may know Regis. Regis Kennedy, myself, and Bill Bolter would go to the nursing home. And I'm telling this story right there around the bed. And I said, and Regis would sing and might do a little sermon or devotion. I would play the piano and sing a little bit, might do the devotion. Bill didn't sing or preach. But you know what he did? He helped pass out the snacks to the folks. He just went as a servant. And as I told that story, it was like in that room they began to realize the great impact this man has had, very quietly, very humbly. And as we thought about that, those positive words, many times you can say, tell a story about somebody that's done something in your life that's made a difference. Tell somebody about that. Tell that person how much they mean to you. My prayer is that Bill was listening in and heard us share in that moment. Elevate our focus. And then the next one says, listen intently for God's voice. Listen intently for God's voice. There's so much noise. I mean, I'm the same way, man. I wake up in the morning, I go, Alexa, play the songs I like, you know. Bang, 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 bang. Becca comes in from walking the dog going, can we turn that off? You know, it's like, oh my, noise everywhere, music everywhere, it's loud. To hear the voice of God, to hear what God is saying to us. There's a great story, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9 is the verse that we're going to look at, but it's that whole chapter. Samuel is at the temple. He's working with Eli because his family dedicated him to God and said, hey, we're going to send you to the temple. You will work there. Because they thought they were never going to have a child. They said, if you give us a child, God, we're going to dedicate him to you. He goes to the temple. He's working. One night, while he's asleep, he hears something. He hears the voice, Samuel, Samuel. He jumps up and runs into Eli and says, Eli, what do you want? What do you need? What do you need? He said, I didn't call you. It happens again. It happens again. And here's what happens. Told him, he said, next time that happens, respond like this. The Lord came and called as he did before, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Eli told him, that's God speaking to you. Listen to him. Hear what he has to say to you. How does God speak to us? That's a great question. They ask that at children's camp. All the children gather around and say, here's a question. How do you know God's talking to you? Well, there's a lot of ways he can talk to us. Church, with our friends, Christian friends, in the Bible, in prayer, in music, all of those ways. A sermon sometimes, not through the jokes. Some of those ways that God speaks to us, maybe in a small group Bible study. I think most of them are kicking off again this week. And I tell you, the youth, Tuesday night, if you come, we're going to meet at the great theological center called Pazzano's, all right? And we're going to have a little fellowship over pizza. And I will say this, students, your pizza will be free. Adults, not free, all right? So, but we still want adults to come if you like, but youth come out Tuesday night for that. But how does God speak to us all those ways? How important was it what God told Samuel? Samuel was the one who put his hand out and called King David. Samuel was the one who knew that David was going to be that king. King David. Because he was the smallest. He was the runt of 12 brothers. And they're looking after 11 of them going, ah, the only one left is David. He's out in the field. And Samuel went over and said, he's the one. He's the one. That's how important it is what God is speaking to us. Next one. Big word, let. Let God change your heart. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I tell you, folks, the new year is an opportunity. Every day is an opportunity to kind of refresh, renew, add in some things that need to be added in, take out some things that need to be taken out. But it's that opportunity for us to be better and to live more like God wants us to live. And that's great, a great word for us. Sometimes we forget that if we're a Christian, God doesn't dwell on all the bad things that we've done, all the things where we've hurt people, we've hurt ourselves, we've hurt our community. God focuses on who you are as his child, and we are forgiven. We are new creatures in Christ, a creature that had, it didn't even exist before. When you became a Christian, you became a new creature that never existed before. Totally fresh, pure, and now ready to live for him. Oh, we still mess up. You remember that bumper sticker says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. That's true. So true. But at the same time, to realize when God looks at us, he sees his child. And then finally, the last one, letter S. Share your passion for Christ daily. If you read that last verse, it talks about how the bells continued to ring and sing on their way from night to day. It was like a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The chiming continued. And I will say this, and we're going to close out in a minute with this thought. You and I, we are the bells. We're the bells that are ringing out Christmas, the message every day. Still ringing, leading. Look what it says in Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God's going to give you so many opportunities to talk to people. And I've got a couple basketball stories I'll throw out in a minute. But first of all, you know, this is a big football weekend, right? Somebody, and yesterday, I know, any Georgia fans? I know we got a Georgia, what, 63-3, you know, that was something else. Poor Florida State. And Clemson won, I think. And South Carolina, were they in a bowl? I can't even keep up. They weren't in a bowl? Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Steve, I apologize. Oh, the girls' basketball team, they're going to beat everybody. Yes, they're phenomenal. So, yeah, the number one for the girls' basketball, that's right. So some pastors, believe it or not, are probably doing some shameless pushing of their teams. Of course, I would never do that. Let's see, I'm going to wipe a little sweat off here. There we go. That's better. Is it up there, Joe? Oh, there it is. Oh, my. Sorry about that. Now, I have to be equally, we're talking about sharing with passion, right? Passion. We have passion for football many ways. We have passion for this, for some for shopping, some for work, all these different things. I want to talk about missed opportunities to share our passion. There are times we have an opportunity to share and we miss it. All right, any Alabama fans? I know Sandy and Terry, we got a couple. Yes, all right, so here we go. And Sue, you'll remember this. This happened in 1994, all right? Bring that next one up. There it is. I don't know if you know who that is right there. That was the quarterback then for Alabama named Jay Barker. Jay Barker, my friend Tim Paul was the drumline director of the University of Tennessee band. And he told me one day, he said, how would you like to come bring one of the youth with you and sit in the band in the stadium? Nah. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yes, I'll be glad to do that. So we're sitting up there in the stands. We're in the band. Tim Paul is the guy's name. He's out there directing. And he says, now I want you to go out on the field with us at halftime. Now, we're at Neyland Stadium. What is it, 110,000? I don't know how many. Not quite as big as Michigan, all right? So anyway, big stadium, Kevin's team, you know, Tennessee. So right before that, now the guy that went with me from the youth group, his name's Wade. Wade comes along with me, and we're standing there. We're going, yeah, we're going to go out on the field at halftime. About that time, a security guy came down the steps, and some guy was doing something he shouldn't have done down there right over the rail. He grabbed that guy by the belt, lifted him up, and carried him out. And Wade said, I think I'll stay here. I said, I'm going on the field. I'm going out on the field. All right. So we get on the field. It's halftime. They've got the baton twirlers and the band and everybody. You're looking up and seeing the 100,000 people out there. John, it was amazing. And the show ends. Here comes the Alabama football team back out. And I'm standing right there, and there's a football laying right in front of me. And the thought came to me, I thought, I ought to pick up that football and hand it to somebody coming along. Here comes Jay Barker. Jay Barker's coming up. I could pick up the football and hand it to the quarterback. About that time, the center came, grabbed it up, and took off, he and Jay. I missed an opportunity. Now, here's the next part of that story that's pretty cool. Some of y'all know this. Who was the quarterback of, don't put it up yet, Joe, who was the quarterback of Tennessee? Now you can put it up. Peyton Manning. Should have gone to the other side and handed him the ball, I guess. But, you know, we have opportunities like that every day to do little things, to touch lives. Now, that's a sports, you know, kind of a shallow thing in a way. But we have opportunities every day to touch people's lives that we miss. To share the passion that we have, we need to be ready to do that. Look at what happened in Acts chapter 4. You had Peter and John, they came out of the temple, the gate, the beautiful gate, and there was a lame man there, and the guy was begging for money. And they looked at him, and they said, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give it to you. Rise up and walk in the name of Christ. And this lame man who was wanting a quarter or a penny was able to walk. That's what Jesus does. He doesn't just give us the little mite and the penny. He gives us something much better. Much better. So Peter and John, because of this, they get in trouble. They are brought before the Jewish leaders. Like, what are you doing in the name of Jesus out here? And here's the response of Peter and John about sharing their passion. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We cannot stop telling. When God does work in your life, I would encourage you in 2024, write it down. Satan wants you to forget it. But when God does something, remember it. Share it with people all around as you go through. So there's the challenge. If you look at those words, spelled out the word bells on the side, you've noticed that, I'm sure. I don't know, Jason, you think we could maybe sing that song? You know that song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day? Think you could play it? Let's try it, see what happens. So say a little prayer. I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
You ready?
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace. peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men.
I don't know about you, but every year a song from Christmas kind of sticks with me. Last year it was, I'll Be Home for Christmas. And I was thinking all the military folks around the world. This year, this song, I heard the bells on Christmas Day and the change that took place in Longfellow's heart during that. And we didn't sing the fifth verse. You know why? That's your job. Not here. I've had so many people already this morning tell me they don't sing. Right, Janine? So many people say, well, I don't sing. You want everybody to leave? Yeah, we're old. So, yeah, but here's your deal. You are the bells as you leave. You will be ringing and singing, chiming, and just sharing that passion as you go from this place. And I want to challenge you. We realize on Christmas Eve, now morning and evening, we had 235 people in here. Folks, I'm telling you, God is doing something here at Grace Point that's exciting. I'm excited to be a part of that. Jason's excited to be a part of that. Kevin, excited to be a part of it. I hope you are as well. I shared this earlier with Jonathan. I said, he handles accounting, right? That's kind of the thing. And I said, I'm kind of debating on whether to share this or not, but I think I want to because it's good news. And Janina works in our finances. She knows this. Jason was telling me that this past year, when you look at the budget for Grace Point, we are $50,000 over what was needed. Now, the scary thing of sharing that is that you go, oh, I guess I don't have to give anymore. Yeah, that was a good year. Let's see. The important thing for you to realize is as we grow, we will have more opportunities to make improvements all across this property, all across our community, reaching out and having more and more people come in. I told Kevin and I told Jason, I said, next year on Christmas Eve, I don't think we can have just one service on the evening. I think we'll have to have two just to fit everybody in. So there it is, folks. You are the bells as you go from this place. Keep ringing, keep shining, keep sharing the passion that you have. Be the excitement and passion that will bring people to Christ. And on those days when you're in despair, hear the bells still ringing. Hear the bells saying, there will be peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's our challenge. I think I promised Nat I would tell him one more College of Charleston story. So yesterday we had, after the broadcast, we get little notes about people. And one of the players' last name was Delaney. And her dad played at College of Charleston. Thaddeus Delaney. He's in the Hall of Fame, College of Charleston. So we said that on the broadcast, you know, hey, he played at College of Charleston. I'm walking out, and I always ask folks if I see them, I see the parents. I said, which player are you with? And they said, are you with Lauren Thomas? I think his name was the excellent. I mean, she's like averaging a double-double. She's an incredible player. But I said, they said, no, we're with Delaney. And I pointed at him and I said, you played at College of Charleston. He went, what? How would you know this? And his wife is smiling. I said, well, we were on the broadcast, so we know that. And then I went on to talk about some of his accolades. And in that moment, I realized, and it, you know, that's another chance. You could just walk right by. But in that moment, that wife, his wife was smiling so big. Just that little piece of joy that you can give and I can give to people. Like a bell ringing, sharing the good news. If you would, join me in prayer. Father, today we're reminded that you give us a new heart. In this new year, help us to have a new attitude, new passion, to look for opportunities where we can share that passion with others, bring people with us to worship, to come together, to be a part of a church that's growing and exciting. Lord, we thank you for the children here, the youth, college students that come in, young adults, those in the middle age and our senior citizens. Lord, we love each and every one. Lord, we thank you for the music that speaks to us. And today, as we go from this place, help us to be those bells that will be ringing out the love, the peace that you can give. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this time together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. A word of thanks, everybody, for giving toward the angel tree, the poinsettias, Operation Christmas Child. What a great Christmas we had. Pastor Kevin will be back next week. Make sure you laugh at his jokes, okay? And I'm sure he'll have one or two, right?
Probably.
Jason, do you ever tell a joke? I don't know if you ever.
I don't have a sense of humor.
But he can play the guitar, can't he? All right, give him a hand for all these guys. Thank you, Jonathan, as well. Great job over there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. And now as we move into a new year, we pray that you will use us to share the good news with others. Bring that joy, that smile from our heart to this world. We love you and thank you. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.